Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with Greta Anderson.
Hi, Ursula. We have a great lineup. We will be talking further about the visa planning that's going on. But starting off, we have a guest who won a Presidential Early Career Award for scientists and engineers. This is the highest honor bestowed by the United States government on science and engineering professionals in the early stages of their research careers. Stephen Cannon of Ames was one of 102 award winners, went to Washington, D.C. last week to receive the award. He is a USDA agricultural research geneticist and an adjunct assistant professor in the ISU agronomy department. Welcome, Stephen.
No, thanks for having me.
So I understand that your research is on things in the beans and peas family. Am I correct?
That's right. It's a large plant family, about 20,000 species worldwide. Things that we're familiar with include things like lentils, chickpeas, garden pea, fava bean, green bean, soybean, and some things that are a little bit less, you might not think of as legumes, but they're in the same family. Things like jicama that you might find in the grocery store.
Oh, I call it jicama.
Jicama?
Yeah. I thought that was a root crop.
It is.
It's a root crop.
Yeah. And, there are some other root crops in the family. African yam bean that we don't see here.
But, I was listening to the radio yesterday. I heard that legumes are a great source. Well, I knew that they're a great source of protein for humans. I know that they're also used for forage, like you mentioned. But they were saying that of the healthiest societies, those tended to be societies that ate not fish, because I thought it would be fish, but legumes. That beans were a major staple of the diets of the healthiest human societies.
I'm not a nutritionist, but I also hear that they are very healthy.
And good for the soil. Can you explain how legumes not just don't deplete the soil like some crops do, but actually turn around and enrich the soil that they're grown in?
Yeah, this is one of the few plant families that has evolved a symbiotic relationship with a soil bacterium. The plant makes basically a home for the bacterium in a special structure called a root nodule. And in that special environment, this bacterium can take atmospheric nitrogen and convert that into a form that the plant can use directly. A large proportion of the atmosphere, the air that we breathe, is nitrogen, but it's in an inert form that generally isn't accessible to plants unless it is converted. So, yeah, that's what is really most special and valuable about this group of plants.
And as far as your work goes, you are sequencing the genomes. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're finding out which amino acids are where in the chromosomes, in the DNA.
Yeah.
So A, G, C, and T, those are some of the amino acids that you're looking at?
Those are the DNA letters. They're the same DNA letters and the same basic chemistry and structure as the chromosomes in our cells. There's a lot of activity throughout all of biology now that is focused on determining the genome sequences of important species. And the legume family is no different. There are close to a dozen species in this family that have had their genomes sequenced, at least to some level. The first of these in the legumes was soybean. This was a project involving a lot of people nationally, Department of Energy, National Science Foundation, USDA Agricultural Research Service. This was done in 2008, and the research group that I'm a part of played an important role in sequencing that first genome. And since then, chickpea, peanut, brand new, common bean, and some model species that are used for research.
When you sequence, then, do you also find out what the genes are and what their function is? or are you strictly finding out that code?
We're doing both. So the first step really is to determine the sequence of these DNA letters, the A, T, C, and G on the chromosomes. That by itself is a big task. Most of these genomes have between about, let's say a quarter of a billion DNA letters, up to several billion. So once you've determined the sequence of those letters, then there are software programs and other computational approaches for identifying where the genes are. And those genes typically make up a very small proportion of the whole chromosomal sequence.
This sounds like just exhausting work, requiring a great deal of meticulous attention to detail. Can you tell me what really appeals to you about sequencing the genomes of these plants?
I should say that all of these are large consortium projects. Some of them are international projects. A lot of the work is done by computers, so it's certainly not transcribing all of these billion base chromosomes by hand.
That's good.
It's exhilarating. It's exciting to be able to look into these chromosomal sequences and see clues about how the plants work. To see, for example, some of the history of the evolution of this symbiotic relationship with the soil bacteria that makes these plants able to produce high-protein food for us.
And the information that you gather is used for breeding, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Is that conventional breeding or traditional sort of hybrid approaches or the genetic modification that we hear about?
It can be used for either. Think of it as we are determining the basic blueprint of these plants. Primarily, this is used for conventional breeding. For example, breeders, it gives them access to better genetic markers very close to genes for traits that they care about. Mm. Yeah.
Is there any attempt to breed a legume with another crop so that other crops get this wonderful nitrogen fixing? Is that maybe a goal in the future to have other crops be able to improve the soil the way that legumes do?
Probably is a goal, but it's a fairly distant one at this point. It's a complex process that these plants have evolved over a period of about 60 million years. Well, it's not simple.
Okay, well, tell me briefly about what the trip was like to Washington.
Well, the trip was timed nicely. The cherry trees that Washington is famous for were in bloom. There was a nice ceremony where the work of these 102 scientists was briefly described, and we were given recognition. And then in the afternoon, we got to briefly meet President Obama. That was exciting.
How's he looking?
He looks good. He was a bit delayed in meeting us. He apparently had a phone call with Vladimir Putin.
Oh.
And I guess that took precedence over us.
Well, Stephen, Ames is very proud of you for winning this award, representing Iowa State, as well as, I guess, USDA is your primary employer. But congratulations.
Oh, thanks very much.
Stephen Cannon, recipient of the Presidential Early Career Awards for scientists and engineers, and this is the highest honor bestowed upon science and engineering professionals in the early stages of their research careers. And Stephen researches genetics and the genetics of legumes.
If I go walking past the town signs, further on down the highway, will there be something waiting for me, or am I fooling myself again? You know I left this all behind long before you came across my mind. Nothing kept me from leaving that day, but that day was nothing like today. I fell on my knees then, I prayed the change would spare me, that I could stay, oh, that I could stay the same old way. The times are flying right before me, It's not like before when I was blind. I remember seeing only the colors of the beautiful western skies. But now things are much deeper. It makes the darks much darker. But the light shine brighter on your beautiful face. I fell on my knees then. I prayed the change would spare me, that I could stay, oh, that I could stay the same old way. The colors turn and turn back again. There's always something to believe in.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with Greta Anderson. And we were just listening to Chad Elliott singing Same Old Way, a song about change. And speaking of change, the Iowa State Daily reported last week that Iowa State University President Stephen Leith has named 20 community and school leaders to a task force commissioned to study VSHA and to assess its future after the annual week-long celebration turned ugly this month with a riot that seriously injured one. VSHA, which got its name from the first letters of each of ISU's original colleges, started in 1922 as a way of showcasing the community. Despite its family-friendly mission, VSHA has a legacy now of ugly incidents, including riots in 1988, 1992, 1999, and 2004, a fatal stabbing in 1997, and a cancellation in 2005. On day two of this year's event, which began April 7th, thousands of revelers took to the streets shouting at police, overturning cars, toppling two light poles, and caused thousands of dollars in damage. One student was hit by a falling light pole and hospitalized with life-threatening injuries. And I hear he is in stable condition. In response, ISU President Leith canceled VSHA celebrations and activities this year, putting VSHA's future into question.
Tom Hill, ISU Senior Vice President for Student Affairs, will lead the task force, which will study VSHA's past and present and assess its role and relevance going forward. The first meeting has yet to be scheduled, but Hill said he'll ask the group to provide recommendations on how to proceed with the historic event before the end of June, according to an ISU news release. In addition to Hill, the VSHA task force will include ISU leaders such as Pamela Anthony, Dean of Students, ISU Student Body President Hillary Kletcher, Student Chairman of this year's VSHA, and professors, alumni, and graduate students. Community leaders were also appointed to the committee, including Ames Mayor Ann Campbell, Ames Police Chief Chuck Shykaz, and Melissa Pierce, General Manager of Campustown Property Management. ISU University Counsel Paul Tanaka is on the task force as a non-voting member.
Hillary Kletcher, who is a task force member and president of the ISU Government of Student Body, has joined us by telephone. Hillary, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Hillary is joining us by phone because she has a class soon, so wasn't able to come down to the station. So, Hillary, you're part of the task force that's been formed. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. It's myself and three other students out of the 20. So four of the 20 people on the task force are students.
And has the task force already met once?
No, we haven't met yet. So I actually have a meeting later today to discuss how we're going to proceed with the task force. So I'm looking forward to learning more later today and really being able to set that vision of how we're going to move forward and how I can reach out to students throughout the whole process and get their input.
Has there been any preparatory work?
Up to this point, last week really focused on establishing who was going to be on the task force, contacting those people, and getting that piece of the puzzle figured out. And then at the end of last week on Friday, I had a conversation with Dr. Hill about past VSHA task forces, just to kind of get a historical perspective of how they've worked in the past. But I think the groundwork is really going to be laid in the next few days of how we're going to get everyone involved. And I hope that we begin meeting very soon.
As the GSB president, do you have a particular mission that's been entrusted to you?
You know, it's actually really interesting. I've gotten several different opinions from students. Some students think VSHA absolutely has to continue. Some students say get rid of it. It has a bad history. It's really time for us to start fresh. And so I think it's really my job as student body president to go in with all of those perspectives, and rather than have a very strong personal opinion, be able to offer those different perspectives from fellow students and ask questions that just maybe get people to think about the conversation in a different way. So that's really going to be my goal going into the task force meetings. And I've had several students send me emails about what they think should happen with Visha. And so I'm printing those emails off and compiling a binder of just different student perspectives that I can really take with me so that I'm representing many more voices than just my own.
You're seeing your role really as a facilitator of different perspectives to the task force. You're not coming in with a particular point of view of your own?
Right, absolutely. Just because I am student body president. And so that means that there's over 33,000 students that I have to be the voice for that can't be in that room. And so even if I have a personal opinion about something, that doesn't mean that that's what the most of the student body want. It's really about being tuned into the student body and asking questions and just finding out what students really think.
Hillary, if somebody would like to communicate to you, what is the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way is just via email. And my email can be found on our Government to the Student Body website online. And that's really just the best way to get a hold of me, to share an opinion and start a dialogue.
And what is the website?
www.gsb.iastate.edu.
Could you repeat that?
Yep, www.gsb.iastate.edu.
Thank you, Hillary. Are you optimistic about this process?
I'm optimistic, but I'm also questioning a lot of it. You know, my big comment about Visha and the history of the unofficial Visha is that the first riot happened before I was born. And
wow.
That really put it in perspective for me that that's how long ago this happened. And so if this has lasted this long already, I think it's really time that we start to question what we're doing and really raise things to the next bar of solving this problem. Because this is a long time. That's several generations of college students through Iowa State University. And so I'm just really concerned about stopping it so that 20 years from now, someone can't say that was over two lifetimes ago.
Wow, it's a tradition. Will you come back to tell us about this as things develop?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much, and thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, take care.
This is Local Talk, where we explore people, events, and stories of Central Iowa. Today we are hearing about the task force that has been constituted by ISU President Leith and Vice President of Student Affairs Tom Hill to plan the future of Visha, if indeed there is a future of Visha. Iowa State University employee Ann Kinzel is here with us today to give us some historical perspective. She was on the 2004 task force that convened to determine the future of the event after our last serious riot. She's a lawyer and healthcare policy expert, currently a contracts administrator at ISU. She served on the Ames Human Relations Committee and was candidate for the at-large seat on council in 2012. Welcome to KHOI, Ann.
Thank you, Greta. I just want to say that, yes, I am an ISU employee, but the views I express today are simply my own private thoughts.
All right. Given your history with the task force in 2004, what were your thoughts and feelings as you heard Hillary speak about this next decision-making effort?
I think Hillary had lots of good things to say, but she certainly grabbed my attention when she said that the first incidents involved with Visha and, shall we say, misbehavior occurred before she joined us on this earth.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild.
It is.
Yeah, because I remember Visha in the 50s, and it certainly never, ever was that part of what I grew up with.
I understand you were not in Iowa during the week of Visha, but you wrote an editorial, sort of, to a Facebook page where people share their thoughts and opinions. What were your main thoughts that you were expressing about Visha?
Sure. I was out in California visiting family, and like all people now, I'm sort of tuned in to all these social media things, and I immediately picked up that there had been another issue at Visha. And my first thought was how sad I was about that and how disappointed and concerned I was for all those involved. My first stint on that task force in 2004 was not my first task force. And I think that all task forces really rise and fail on what is the charge that they're given and who the membership is, because that largely reflects the desires of the people behind the task force. I hope that we have the right number of students. I'm not sure what the right number is, but this is a student issue, and it's very important that the voices of students be included in this. I think one of the things that I'm concerned with is that, you know, when you go to college, one of the classes that everybody has to take somewhat begrudgingly is statistics. And they tell you never to confound causation and correlation. And here we are. This event happened the week during Visha. I think it surprised a lot of people that it was on a Tuesday evening. I had a lot of correspondence with friends and discussion when I came back to Ames that, oh my, it happened on a Tuesday and not on the weekend. So my thoughts were, wow, how do we know that this is really all about Visha? What if this were the first warm and fuzzy night of the spring after, we all admit, a difficult winter, and people, students, went out drinking and things got out of hand? Is this causal or is it correlated? I don't know.
And can you describe a little bit what happened with the task force in 2004? How does one go about a task force like this?
Well, as I remember, and admittedly memory is always a bit fuzzy, we met, it was kind of the same kind of composition. And I think, oddly enough, how I got named was there were very few women on it. And I had sort of goosed my good friend Tahira Hira, who had been put in charge of that, about, well, how come there aren't more women? And she said, great, you're on it. and so that was my introduction. But we did a lot of sort of ground rules and figuring out what it is that we really wanted to discuss. And then we sought testimony and input from people who would have ideas about that. It didn't seem to me that we really reached any strong conclusions, primarily because I'm not sure we were asking the right questions.
Hmm. So did you have to make a decision whether to continue Visha or not?
I think a report was, if I remember correctly, a report was given to President Joffrey, and he made the decision.
And do you see any of your conclusions being acted on as time has gone on?
Well, I think that things have changed.
Uh-huh.
Campus town has changed. The student body has gotten much larger. So I'm not sure that the things that we were asking back then may necessarily be that relevant mm-hmm. to where we are today.
Well, we're speaking with Ann Kinzel, who is ISU employee who served on the 2004 Planning Task Force on Visha in light of the large crowds that have been gathering in Campus Town and getting out of control. This is Local Talk on KHOI, where we seek to provide space for exploratory discussion and further understanding of events that affect our community. In light of that, ISU students Adam Gunther and Diane Frew have also joined us today. So we have some guests in the studio with us that were personally and deeply affected by this year's cancellation of Visha Weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And Anne, we hope you can stay too for a few minutes. Adam and Diane, you were involved with actually planning alternative events during the Visha Weekend, and you came last week and told us a little bit about that, and thank you for coming back. When we spoke last weekend, it really led to a very interesting discussion about your vision for Visha. Why don't you just recap very briefly what you did during the Visha weekend?
Thursday, I helped plan a community picnic, and then on Saturday, I helped plan a makeshift Visha parade.
And on Friday, I helped plan a on-campus lunch for students just to come together and enjoy each other's company on Central Campus while playing Frisbee and engaging in other activities.
Did you feel that these events were worth planning? Did it add to your experience of Visha?
Yes, it definitely was worth planning. It was great just to see sort of the spirit rekindle in students about, despite the loss of Visha, and being able to just come together and have that same faith in our university that Visha is more than the riots, and it's really about students coming together. And so that's really what I think our events sort of embodied in the whole process.
How about you, Adam?
And I have to say, I'll speak to the parade that we had, you know, that Saturday, that we had a lot of community members come out to watch the parade. We had a few even in the parade. And, you know, there's a lot of alumni that are here still in Ames, and they really They bring the families, and we have alumni that even come in specifically for the Vision. So some of them that came, you know, they still wanted to, you know, tour the campus and everything. And so when they saw the parade, you know, it was really nice for them to see that the students still cared about, like, the spirit of Visha and the community and the campus aspect that it really truly is about.
The spirit of Visha was still alive. In your experience, you felt that.
Yes, it definitely was.
Mm-hmm. Both of you are seniors at Iowa State?
Correct.
Yes.
One of the things that occurred to me after we spoke last time was that really what happens at the end of your senior year is, in a way, a send-off for you as a student. How does the Visha experience relate to that for you?
For me as a graduating senior, I know I was definitely very disappointed when I heard about the cancellation of Visha, and it's something that I had been looking forward to as sort of like the last hurrah of senior year and of leaving Iowa State. But I think through our planning processes with Adam and all the events that took place with Alternative Visha, and still seeing that students still have that joy in the university and still that belief in its students, I think that's really what I value more about taking back from Iowa State, because that's really the thing that I value a lot about Iowa State is its students and the drive its students have and the sort of the inspiration that the students can bring onto community members, and just being proactive when things go bad is we don't just sit back and let it take over, but we make a stand for it. And I think that's the last hurrah I'm going to take from Iowa State.
By organizing this event, you were able to create that memory for yourself of a good connection to the students and the university.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm very appreciative that you came down. In speaking with you, I hear the point of view of students who are involved with the university on an academic level and through the clubs and through really being active part of the community. Before we go on, I'd like to play a few clips that we gathered during the Visha weekend. Now, these clips were taken mostly in the Welch Avenue area, which is really the area that is the focus of this task force, or what has been the provocation for having to call a task force. So it's a little bit stepping out of the discussion that you've been having with us, then maybe we can comment on it afterwards.
I really like the Visha Village. The Humane Society comes, and the Reptile House comes, and yeah, I just like the animals that come.
Yeah.
And they have really fun little robots and things that come around. Like last year they had a WALL-E robot.
I like having the activities on campus and stuff, so getting pancakes at 2 in the morning, center campus. Oh, yeah.
You know, they used to have all the fair stands around there, and that was a good time. We all enjoyed that, I think.
Campanelling.
I love the corn dogs.
Yeah, the walking tacos and all the...
What is it?
Tacos? Cherry pies.
Cherry pies. I just love how it's a warm time of the year and everyone's happy.
Yeah, it's just a good way to support school spirit, so it kind of sucks that it all happened.
People and fucked it up for us.
Yeah, that they ruined it.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Everyone still comes into town. All of our friends have still, it's just, we're not allowed to say that it's Visha, which is, it's sad.
The riot was only 1,000 people, and Iowa State has 33,000.
Yeah.
A few ruin it for the money. Yeah.
So as alumni, does this change your feeling about Ames and Iowa State?
No, I mean,
they felt like they had to live up to the standards of the stories that they've
We need to, like, do something crazy.
Yeah.
It was really stupid. It was really unfortunate. And it just sucks. Visha's over. And us all being juniors and seniors, they ruined our last year, so it's done.
Because kids are still going to party.
That's Visha right there. We all rebelled. That it's my game. You're not the boss over me. You're not the boss over me, and I'll show it to you right here, taking the sign down. That's honestly, because I've really thought about it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It's because look at them. You're not the boss over me.
What is your favorite Visha tradition?
The riots. They're my favorite.
Is the party still going on?
Listen,
it doesn't even matter.
It's going to go on either way.
Were you guys, any of you, part of the crowd Tuesday night?
We were a little too drunk to notice what was going on. I walked right through here during it and didn't notice. I just was blacked out.
Yeah,
we were blacked out.
Grandma's Attic is the name of my business in Campustown. Back in the 90s, when the store was on Lincoln Way, one of our employees stood out in front with a baseball bat to make sure they didn't loot the store. I think it's boredom and a long, cold winter and a long tradition of partying way too hard. It's the liquor. And
this is my first year being 21, so I was excited for, like, the drinking, going out aspect of it, just to see what that was all about. But I was scared, honestly. People were just being really crazy, like, right outside our doors, and it was actually, like, honestly, like, terrifying, like, just, like, looking out onto it. So I went and stayed somewhere farther away.
Campus Town is really relatively two blocks long. You can't put 5,000 people in a two-block-long area during a time when it's all about partying and drinking and summertime, and we're probably, for the first time, we're out there having fun.
What they did was punish the people who weren't involved and not do anything to the people that would want to do that kind of thing anyway, because you can still go to any of the bars, you can still buy a keg, you can still drink off campus, you can do any of that. That's not restricted at all. So, you know, it's like, okay, so kids can still drink as much as they want to. That's the only thing that's not affected.
We're at Lead Salon. We're in Campus Town. I think the idea of Visha is a good idea. It's really to show Iowa State at its best, and there's no reason why it can't continue. That's why I am promoting Winter Visha, because I think we can do that without all this aggressive partying. Instead of having the parade, they're going to have dog sleds with three different categories of small, medium, and large ice sculptures. They'll have an ice king and queen. They'll have marathon ice dancing on Lake Laverne. Why not igloos, a bonfire to end the whole thing, the polar plunge? I think it would be awesome. I think part of the reason that Visha is challenged is because you've got the beautiful weather, you've got a lot of people in town, you've got a lot of spectators, and with spectators, you're going to have actors. It's pretty simple that this is what it's kind of come to be, you know, unfortunately. You know, part of it is the weather.
This is Merlin the Move, and I'm with KHOI. Friday night, we were out on Welch. People that were in town, they still turned up out on Welch, so it had to be at least 5,000 to 10,000 people out there. Heavy police presence. But they wouldn't bother. I mean, I didn't see them bother the people we were with, you know. Just everybody's out having fun. It was great. The weather was beautiful. It was just people everywhere. You know, high-fiving, be you walking by, and just, it was peaceful. I had a good ball. It was a guy playing some drums when one of our guys started rapping to the beat. And then another guy jumped in, and he started rapping, doing the same thing. And so it ended up starting from one person, and then it was like total to be five or six guys. You know, going one after another, just, you know, freestyling, rapping. And it was a sea of people, just a sea of people down, I mean, from one end of Welch all the way to the come and go, you know, like waves of people. It was great. It was a carnival atmosphere. You know, it's just people out having fun. So I don't know what happened that night, but Friday night, it was more people than I've ever seen ever out on campus. And it was peaceful. I think that's going to happen every year, whether the college is involved or not. I believe this time of year, every year, no, from now on, it'll be people there.
I'm Carolyn Heising, and I'm a professor here of engineering for 21 years. I think that as bad as all the events were on Tuesday and Wednesday morning down in Campus Town, a lot of the students who worked so hard all year long for Visha felt very punished, especially the seniors who seemed like all the students organizing these alternative Visha events were seniors, and of course they are very sad that Visha was cut off, and so I really think there could have been a little better response than just turning the whole thing off. Especially the Stars Over Visha. A lot of people had tickets for that. After all, the football game is going on today, and there was the Order of the Knoll dinner on Thursday night and the ISU Foundation events yesterday for honoring alumni. And I don't buy the idea that they were not really Visha events. They really are Visha events. That's why they're scheduled this Visha weekend.
The only people they're punishing are the people that didn't have anything to do with it. There's a lot of people that put in a lot of hard work and, you know, and activities on campus. Some of those groups, that's the only fundraiser they have all year. There's going to be serious amounts of money lost by a lot of people. Some people, they rely on this week to get them through the summer. You know, like when you were in grade school and the teacher says, well, if somebody doesn't admit to it, everybody has to stay in detention, you know.
I got invited through one of my Indian students through Facebook to start coming to alternative Visha events. The students organized, and they are going to go on, and they're showing leadership. I think that's very positive.
If I go walking past the town signs, further on down the highway, There'll be something waiting for me, or am I fooling myself again? You know I left this all behind long before you came across my mind. Nothing kept me from leaving that day, but that day was nothing like today. I fell on my knees then, I prayed that change would spare me, that I could stay. Oh, that I could stay the same old way. The times are flying right before me. It's not like before when I was blind. I remember seeing only the colors of the beautiful western skies. But now things are much deeper, it makes the darks much darker. But the light shine brighter on your beautiful face. I fell on my knees then, I prayed that change could spare me, that I could stay. Oh, that I could stay the same old way. The colors turn and turn back again. There's always something to believe in, but that's not what you're searching for. No, it's something more hidden. Spend your life waiting round, or you can finally up and leave this town. But there's something just follows you, no matter which road you go down. I fell on my knees then, I prayed the change would spare me, that I could stay. Oh, that I could stay the same old way.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Today we're talking about Visha and its future or lack of future in light of the current task force that's been appointed by ISU President Leith to plan its future. Here today in the studio with us are Ann Kinzel, Adam Gunther, and Diane Frew. Diane and Adam are students at Iowa State who planned alternative events. Ann Kinzel has served on past task force. So I'm interested in hearing some of your responses to the audio we heard. There's a number of themes were raised. There's the theme of just the need to highlight the accomplishments of Iowa State and promote the activities of the university. There's the theme of spring fever versus a university display time. There's the theme of drinking being a problem, and even the fact that what we might have here is a permanent street fair that wants to be a street fair and possibly has potential for cultural development instead of violence. So there's a number of themes that seem to be rising to the surface, and I'm curious what you think was important for the future of Visha. Adam, you want to go first?
Responding to some of the comments made in the audio, there were some very good ideas, but I just don't know how feasible some of them all. Kind of speaking to like the winter of Visha, Iowa State already has Winterfest, which is the last week before the dead week at Iowa State in the fall semester, and it's very packed with activities already throughout the whole week. And so I don't know necessarily if having a separate winter of Visha would necessarily be very successful. And Lake Laverne never freezes over because of the aerators and stuff. So anyone listening, please do not go sledding or skiing or, you know, skating on Lake Laverne, because you'll fall in and it's a nasty, you know, kind of pool. But, you know, I think Dr. Heisling had a good point, you know, that, you know, the alumni events and the foundation events and the football game still went on during the Visha week. And, I mean, the only reason that they have them during the Visha week is because Visha is an invitation to the alumni to come out and see campus again, but they didn't cancel that because it's about money. You know, they need the donors, they need the alumni, and they need people to come out to the football game to buy tickets and come and do everything. But, you know, what they didn't think about is, you know, the alumni wanted to come out and see, you know, stalls over Visha or see, you know, oh, I was in, you know, Black and Bridal when I was here at Iowa State in the 70s. Let me go check out the Black and Bridal group, you know. So I think that, you know, the university took a one-sided stance on it just being focusing on financials and not about the actual student, you know, values and what the students have done all year. I think a lot of students would be in agreements that, you know, the unofficial drinking aspect of Visha is something that, you know, is not going to change. And there's a lot of universities across, you know, the United States that have, you know, unofficial drinking weekends, but they don't have that positive official student activity kind of, you know, events that Visha does have here at Iowa State. And so I think that if you don't have some type of, you know, planning to kind of counteract that unofficial Visha, all you're left is that drinking.
Diane, do you have any comments?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, one of the thoughts that came to mind is how Visha is not only influence the students, but also the faculty and staff, and how it's sort of disturbed the academic sector of the university. In terms that I know personally, Visha Week, some students, this might sound bizarre, but we have drinking games during classes. And I think it's, and so that, you know, goes into disturbing the academic setting. So because of that, and not only the financial reasons, but I can sort of see the university's standpoint on canceling Visha when it starts to affect the academics. But just to reiterate what Adam said, Visha is, it's unfortunate that some students ruined it for many, but in the overall sense, it is for the students. It's created for the students, and it's created by the students. And I think, I mean, obviously canceling it has disturbed a lot of students' morale, especially my own. But it's definitely what needs to be changed would be more of a cultural change in terms of how students view Visha. Is it a week of drinking classes? Is it a week of going to the bars earlier than you normally would? Or is it a week of truly celebrating the spirit of being a Cyclone and celebrating your culture and celebrating your sport or, like, your group activity? And so I think it needs a huge cultural change, not just policies or anything like that, but the change needs to come from the students and just changing our own mindset of what Visha is. I've been involved with the university in a variety of ways, like such as through leading campus tours and engaging a lot with prospective freshmen as well as current freshmen. And I think when you talk to them about Visha, they already have this persona of Visha is, you know, a week-long party. And that's what we need to change. That's what we need to change, how future generations view Visha. And so that'll come with a cultural change within the student body.
So your recommendation to the task force would be to focus on finding a way to change the culture?
Right, exactly. I think that'd be really more beneficial because the problem now is sort of with the students that are partying really hard and not really understanding what Visha is. So we need that change within the students.
Do you have any idea of how one makes a change like that?
That'll be a big change. I think it can come from student leaders rising up and really maybe mentoring the younger youths in terms of what Visha is, why we have Visha, and how it should be properly celebrated. I know growing up, we always have a lot of influences that we look up to, and sort of being a mentor myself to younger generations, I've seen my influence on them, and I think a lot of Iowa State is made up of a lot of great student leaders, and I think it's definitely times like this that us student leaders need to rise up for that change and really mentor the younger individuals that we encounter.
Do you think it's worth to keep Visha going?
Oh, for sure. It definitely is. Drinking and partying still goes on despite even if we don't have Visha. And so that's not the problem. The problem is just that persona of what Visha stands for.
Anne, you have any comments?
Yeah, well, Adam and Diane are a tough act to follow. Very articulate, intelligent students so early in the morning as well. Mm-hmm. I have three thoughts. The first is that I think it would be a travesty to end Visha. About, as I understand it, three-quarters of Iowans don't have a bachelor's degree. Many people in our society cannot attend university for a variety of reasons, some of them centered around affordability.
Visha is not just a showcase for the alums, but it's also a showcase for opening up our university to the state. And all those folks support it one way or another through taxes. So to end that tradition would leave only athletics as the way really to speak to the community at large, and I would find that devastating. Second, I think that the drinking, as the students noted, is going to go on no matter what. But one of the questions I had on the past task force was, where we were given much information about a relatively high binge drinking rate on campus. I don't remember the exact number. But I remember asking, if their binge drinking rate is so high, how come our dropout rate doesn't correspond to that? In other words, are we offering an academic challenge to students that is enough so that they will not be out drinking on a Tuesday night? I wasn't a saint when I was in college, but to be honest, I went to the University of California, Davis. I was too afraid to party between Sunday and Thursday because I was afraid about my performance. We tried to make up for it on weekends, but we didn't do it more than that. The third thing is that I did offer a thought at the last task force, and it kind of goes like this. Some of you may be familiar with the work that Jimmy Carter and his institute have done about having sort of neutral observers in elections in countries that have a history of no elections or disputed elections. And their goal is to be observing, to serve as a presence, to mitigate against possible harm in the election process. A lot of alumni talk about wanting to help Visha. I'm an Iowa State alumni. I did get a master's here. And I think one of the things that alumni could do is get some, the university could help organize some training perhaps from some people from the Jimmy Carter Institute and neutral observer tactics, and then sort of fan out in campus town and in the south of campus neighborhood during Visha Week as sort of uninvited guests to the party, if you will, but who might bring a dampening to certain ardor. Maybe I'm just kind of dreaming here. But I think to my kids, when there's a bunch of adults around who are just kind of there, not getting involved, but just there, it's possible that you can sort of tame things a bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I know on most Vishas, mostly during the Friday and Saturday, but this year it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Division of Student Affairs at Iowa State has a lot of their staff members go around and kind of walk around campus town to see how students are doing, make sure everything's going okay. And this year I was a part of, you know, the government of the student body contingent since Dr. Hill asked Hillary Kletcher to have students come on and help and see if that's something that, you know, could help kind of calm the mood around campus town after Visha was canceled. And I enjoyed doing, you know, working with students, and there was a lot of, you know, students misbehaving. But I think the problem is that, you know, we had a student that was injured on that Tuesday incident, but none of the businesses were really impacted. Walking around the rest of the week, most of the bars were full to capacity most of the night, and so they were not hurting for money if they had a line out the door waiting to go in. And so, you know, if they can just, you know, get any student or any, you know, visitor, you know, they can get them drunk, and then when they misbehave, they can throw them out, and then they're on campus town. So when you have, you know, belligerently drunk, you know, students or guests to the community, and they're so drunk that they, you know, they can't handle themselves, it's not the business's problem anymore because now they're on campus town in the street. And I think that's the problem that you have is that when businesses and, you know, Ames community members don't see the students as a part of their community, there's no need for them to really, you know, report them, and they see it as someone else's problem but not the community's problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Visha should continue, Adam?
Oh, I definitely think Visha should continue. I think it's an opportunity for the Ames and ISU communities to kind of grow together and you know, become one, like one community type thing. But I think in the past, maybe with the increasing student numbers, I don't think the Ames community has really kind of met with the university to kind of counteract the number of students. I think we have more students here at Iowa State, and that means that we have more Ames residents, you know, whether it just be 9 months out of the year or if it's a 4-year commitment. But, you know, the administration and a lot of our professors keep trying to tell us that, you know, like, Ames is a great community to work after you graduate, but I don't necessarily see the growth rate of jobs matching what the student rate is. And so when all you have is, you know, more and more students, you know, coming to Iowa State, you're going to have more and more students that want to go out onto Welsh Avenue. And so if there's less bars for the students to go to, then there's more, you know, competition for them to, you know, get drunk. And then when you have a bunch of drunk people on one street, and it's not a good, you know, mixture for, you know, development.
So, Visha, the canary in the mineshaft of what you see as a larger problem that's ongoing during the year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know what the problem was for the riots, you know, in years past, but I definitely think that Ames is not growing, the university is not growing fast enough to meet the demand that the students are coming in. You know, we don't have enough residence halls, we don't have enough classrooms, and so when you kind of have that on-edge moment, you know, all year long, when, you know, Ann said previously, you know, it was one of the nicest days that we've had in a very long time on that Tuesday. So I don't know if it had anything to do with it being Visha, but when you're so antsy and you're wired up and you're boxed in for, you know, the six-month Iowa winter, you know, you're going to want to go out and hang out and have fun. But, you know, if there's not enough to do because there's too many students and there's not enough opportunities, I think that's really not setting it up for a very good situation.
And if you're underage, the street is really the only place you can go because you can't go into the bars.
Yeah, I mean, I the one thing that I do want to say is that, you know, the Ames businesses, bars and stuff, they're really good about checking IDs and stuff. But for every good ball that checks IDs, there's always a handful of students that have better fakes. And so I know it happens. Fake IDs is something that every generation has to deal with. And so a portion of the underage students will have, you know, to get into the bars. But I think on the weekend you saw a lot of people just kind of drinking on the street because the cops just cannot pull everyone over for public intox or public drinking or anything like that because there were so many students. Now, that's not a regular problem that I see when I go to Welsh Avenue, but students can go to a house party right down the street from Welsh Avenue and they can get drunk, and then it's kind of like the same thing had they been above 21.
Diane, any last word before we end?
Yeah, I do. I think as a psychology major, what Ann said about correlation does not mean causation really stuck out to me, because this problem, like we said, it might have been the weather, it might have been a variety of other reasons that the riot occurred, but just pinpointing it on one thing, I think that was definitely where the university went wrong, rather than like looking at other ways of controlling the situation. And I talked to some other students about what they suggested, and I know last week we had sort of discussed about using that energy for as a positive way. And so, like, even some students suggested maybe having a carnival on campus town, or like just something to, we know where a huge population is going to be, and so using that positive energy and positive atmosphere for the greater good rather than for negatives. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. And based on what you said, Anne, perhaps more focus on the arts and not just athletics.
Yes, but I also think that what we've talked about throughout this morning has been a drinking problem, mm-hmm. and the inability to distinguish between having fun and getting absolutely drunk to excess. And so, to me, this is not so much a Visha problem. It's a culture of drinking problem, and I hope that the task force will take the opportunity to look profoundly in that, because it marks 4 years of student investment or longer parental investment, which mm-hmm. is being impacted.
Thank you, all of you, for coming today. And this has been Local Talk, and I've been your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Debbie Bunka was also a contributing reporter, and Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. Music you've heard included Same Old Way by Chad Elliott from his CD Redemption Man, and our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
We heard from the president of the student body, Hillary Kletcher, Ann Kinzel, Adam Gunther, and Diane Frew were here in the studio. Also, there were Campus Town business members, students, and professors recorded during the canceled Visha weekend. Earlier in the hour, we spoke with Stephen Cannon, who was recently awarded the Presidential Early Career Award for Scientist and Engineer, the highest honor bestowed by the United States government on science and engineering professionals in the early stages of their independent research careers.
You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows on our website, khoifm.org. and see listings of past guests and resources and contact information. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.